Why don't you grab your Bible and make a confession over our Bibles to receive the Word of God today. Say, this is my Bible. It's God's Word to me. And I believe all of it. From Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything God has for me today. In Jesus' name. Be excited. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. I want to continue in the direction I went before of information application transformation, but the Lord led me in a different direction this morning. I want to talk about the fact that Christians are supposed to be producing fruit. There's supposed to be production out of our life, and I think I was just talking with Diana about it. I think the way it ties into what we were learning already is when we learn to get the wrong things out and get the right things in, then our life begins to produce what it was always supposed to produce. Yeah. The Bible, particularly New Testament, talks about we being fruitful Christians, but we tend to drop back into being works Christians. Yeah. But, you know, when you think of a tree, I love coming into the fall in the sense that the apple trees will be producing soon, and there's something about the fresh apples, the crisp, juicy apples. I love Empire apples, the ones that come out this time of year. And I think probably soon, if not already, are there little apples on them yet? There's the buds or something, it's producing like it's supposed to. The trees that produce those apples, you don't drive by, as we have them all around here, and hear the trees struggling, running hard to try to produce, get those apples to come out. And it is a battle sometimes. What was it last year or the year before? It was because of the weather, things didn't go as well as it should. But an apple tree is created to produce apples. So if everything's as it should be, it doesn't have to struggle with that. It just produces. And we are God's kids. We are faith children of a faith God. Righteous, praise God. So we're set up to produce some fruit in our lives. Matthew 13, verse 23. At the end of the parable of the sower, Matthew's gospel said it this way: "But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. The idea is we receive in and produce out, and it's supposed to be happening that way. People are supposed to see the way that we live and see fruit. And what it comes down to, like Mark was saying about something else, we're all producing something, but whether we're producing what we're supposed to produce or not is really a lot up to us. The power of God is what produces it, but what we do with our lives has a lot to say about that. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you'll be producing Christian fruit. I was listening to somebody talk about a Christian lady that we've known in the past, and hearing about it as a business, and somebody said to this person about her, they would never go to that place again, and they would never do business with her again. Why? Because she's grouchy, she's mean. She's a Christian. I don't question the fact that she's born again, but the fruit that she's producing is aggravation, and if you do this, you're gonna make you pay. Those kind of things. Christians can produce that kind of fruit. It's not fruit. It's not godly fruit. It's more works than it is fruit. But it's because, well, I guess we go back to the wrong things are in there. So that, like Mark was pouring that water and blue kept coming out. The things that are in there keep coming out. So they've got to get that all out before we're producing the right things. If you think about if we have in us. A lot of times when people are grouchy and hard to get along with the people around them, it's not really about that person. That's they think it's that person is aggravating me. But the aggravation is all the things on the inside, and that person has just set that off in some way. And so, therefore, the things that are produced are the wrong things. Go over to Colossians chapter 1. Wonderful prayer here in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. I want you to notice some of the things that are in here. Because it would be good if we understood If we can understand what kind of fruit God is expecting us to produce, it'll be easier to see if we're going in the right direction or not. Correct? If you know what an apple, when you find out what an apple looks like, then you know that tree is supposed to produce that. It's going to help along the way. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. For this reason, we also say, we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Paul praying for the church of Colossae, and ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering, make sure you read in there, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We're not going to be qualified. We're already qualified. Amen. He has delivered us, from the power of darkness and conveyed us in the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, already forgiven. One of the translations says for that, being fruitful in every good work, your lives will be fruitful in every kind and in every kind of good action. There should be good actions that come out of Christians because of who we are. It really should get to the place where we don't even have to try to produce good actions. It just should happen because this is who we are. We begin to understand who we are. It's a kind of thing that we should ask ourselves, is this what I'm producing? If we find ourselves aggravated by every little thing that people do around us, obviously something's happening with the fruit producing. It's not happening like it's supposed to. It's not getting produced like it's supposed to. And it's not that person out there. It's not the husband or the wife or the kids or the parents or the boss. It's the things that are in there, in us, that are keeping it from happening. I like to watch the survival shows. And I was watching this one of people surviving way up in Alaska. And I thought this interesting, the way that, you know, they cut firewood for everything so they don't have to send out for oil or anything like that. And so this guy, you know, when you cut firewood, I understand that it works best if it's seasoned, if it's been dead for a while, and then it burns better. So this guy showed us that he goes out and he picks a tree that's going to have good firewood for him, and he girdles the tree. He cuts through the bark all the way around because he's going to use it next year. So it's still standing, but it's dying already because the nutrients aren't allowed to get to the tree. And so next year he cuts it down. It's already been seasoned, and he can split that up for firewood and use it right away. The opposite of what I'm trying to say, but you see, the nutrients get cut off. It's not receiving what it's supposed to receive, and so therefore it can't produce what it's supposed to produce. Got to make sure we're hooked up to the right things. I was looking in Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words at the word fruit, and it says this. Fruit, the visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly, the character of the fruit being evidence of the character of the power producing it. Read that again. Fruit, the visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly, the character of the fruit being evidence of the character of the power producing it. So the fruit is being produced visibly outside, but there's an invisible power that's working inside where it's coming from, and that the fruit mirrors that. We should be producing good behavior because we've been made good on the inside by the power of God. And I think, don't you think, that a lot of what we've done is try to do the outside and hope that it worked in? We work on our behavior and hope that in that straightens everything out, but it just doesn't work that way. You might be able to just grit your teeth and just not be mad at somebody that you'd like to be mad at, or not produce, you know, I'm just going to stop doing that. But it doesn't last for very long. It doesn't have the power to work from that direction. It has the power to work from the inside out. Yeah. Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 11. What kind of fruit are we to be producing? Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous, tree of life. One of the things that we should be able to produce is life, giving life to other people so that they can have the same kind of life that we have. Amen? Loretta, can you quick give that, stand up and give that testimony that you were telling me about yesterday? Amen. Amen. It's the way it's supposed to work, praise God.
Amen.
It shouldn't be that we take an evangelism course and finally get it together. You know, a lot of the pressure that's been put on is the wrong kind of pressure, trying to work from the outside in. But when the right things are in there, you want to tell people about it. You've got good things happen to you, and you want to minister it to them. Romans chapter 15. Verse 26. Paul speaking, he says, for please those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And Paul was receiving offerings from Philippi and different places like that, those churches to take back to the Jewish people back in Jerusalem who were suffering through a difficult time of famine and so on. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles had been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. And I thought it was interesting that Paul puts this as this offering giving as fruit. One of the things that we should produce is a giving of things in the kingdom of God. It shouldn't be. When you find yourself thinking, oh no, not another offering, or I'm worse off than them, whatever your mind wants to go to because that blue stuff is still in there, needs to be washed out, because giving should be such a first nature as far as we're concerned. It should be the first thing I want to do. You know, you should almost more feel bad because you don't have something to give than you have to give. It should be, well, I wish I had more to give. I wish that I was already in that place and believe God for prosperity, not so just so I'm doing better, but so that I can give into the kingdom of God in every situation, because that's the fruit that Christians should produce. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8. Ephesians 5, 8, for you were once darkness. Wow, I'm glad that was once and not now. For now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Notice, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather expose them. So what fruit is God speaking of here? He speaks three particular things straight out. Goodness, which means good in character, beneficial in its effect. something good that benefits somebody else is what Christians do, just because we're Christians. We've done things here like, what was the ark thing, the acts of random kindness, you know, to remind ourselves of those kind of things, that we should be looking for opportunities to do something well for, something good for somebody else that benefits them. It is so very easy to slip back into just what's beneficial to me, just what'll make my life better, and get lost in that. But, you know, I think we've all lived long enough to know that there's not much pleasure in that. We might get a little temporary good out of, and we do have to take care of ourselves and so on, but the real pleasure comes from doing something that benefits somebody else. And then righteousness, my goodness, you'd be talking about righteousness from now till the cows come home, of how valuable that is to us. I put it this way in my notes: thinking, believing, and living as God intended. Righteousness, it's just, that's who we are. It's what we're supposed to be. It's when I start thinking, I just have messed up too much, I've got to do something to work my way back into God, please Him in some way. Those are all unrighteous thoughts that need to go. And I know I find myself falling back into it very easily. We were talking about this on, I think, on Thursday night. Let's say I prayed about something and it doesn't seem to be working out like I prayed. I know this is what God said would happen. Doesn't seem to be working out that way. My mind very easily falls into, what have I been doing wrong? Or what am I not doing right? And it falls right back into that works mentality of, must be something that I've messed up, and so God's not going to, He's not going to come through until I get my act together. But if we had to wait till we got our act together for God to come through, it was never going to happen. We're never going to be able to do that unless He brought us up to that and made us righteous in Him. And then truth, free from pretense. Actually, it can be translated as personal excellence. As Mark was saying, there are no secondhand citizens in the kingdom of God. There are no stupid people. There's no ugly people. There's no untalented people. God has made us all in that first level, and truth sees things as they really are. We're used to seeing things a certain way, but truth gets down and gets everything else out of the way and sees things that really are, to see ourselves as righteous, like we were just talking about. It's tough to see yourself as righteous when your whole life you haven't been seeing yourself that way. Mark was saying it's tough to see yourself as intelligent when you've been told all your life you're not. It's tough to see yourself as a success when all your life you've come to the place where you're thinking you're not successful. Amen? But we've got the truth into us. We've been redeemed by the truth. We have the word of truth in our laps. So we should be able to produce that kind of thing in our life. Now, interesting in that last verse there that I read, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Unfruitful is just the Greek word, takes the word for fruit, puts an A in the front of it, just negates it. But notice it throws in the word works. As soon as it's not working right, works was in there someplace. Do you understand what I'm saying? As soon as we're off kelter with God, it's going to be works somewhere. We're going to try to be producing something on our own. It's not made to work that way. I don't know if you see how easy it is to fall back into that, but it is, because that's what we've done all our life. I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to have to please God. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to do that. And this is all religion. This is all unrighteousness. I'm not righteous, therefore I have to do something, instead of just seeing myself as who I am, righteous before the Lord. Have no share. You could translate that. Have no share or partnership with people who are living in this darkened lifestyle. Now, obviously, if we fellowship with people, we want to be beneficial to people. But as far as partnerships are concerned in life, don't be partners with somebody who's living their life in this unfruitful works mentality. You get in a business partner with somebody like that, it's going to be a difficult place to be, because you're trying to produce fruit. You're trying to let God produce fruit, I should say, through you, and they're trying to do it on their own, and the two don't mix. It's oil and water. It doesn't mix. All right? Galatians chapter 5. Tell you, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Let's skip over that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, or chapter 13, for sake of time. verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Our mouth should be fruit producing. Let me say it this way. Our mouth is producing something. Whether that's the right thing or not is questionable. You don't have to hang around people very long to find out what is on the inside, because our mouths are going to give it away. What makes you think, well, that person's a real negative person? It's not something you can see on the outside as much as what you hear coming forth from them. You're around certain people and you think, boy, I'm just going to have to be on my guard today, because they're going to make me feel like I can't. They're going to make me feel like I won't, and I'll never, and all that kind of stuff, because of the words that are coming out of their mouth. Well, we're supposed to be the people that are producing words that are bringing life and excitement and joy and contentment and faith and hope and all those kind of things, regardless of what's happening in our life right now. You know, if we're the kind of person, things aren't going well with me, so I'm gonna rain on your parade too. Misery loves company. Obviously, we're not really living our Christian life as God intended. Now, something interesting here, because, you know, I love the words and find out what they mean. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. I looked up the word thanks, and I was kind of startled to see that it's the word in the Greek is homologeo, which means confess. It means to say the same thing as. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse from all unrighteousness. So the fruit of our lips giving confession, saying the same thing as, to his name. The fruit of our lips should be saying what God says, saying who God is, talking like Jesus would talk if he was here. You understand what I'm saying? It's not just about singing the songs with the group and we're the fruit of our lips are giving thanks to his name. It's about what fruit do your lips produce? What's coming out of your mouth? Not just when we're here in church and we're all going to sing songs together, but what about when you go home and somebody ate all the Cheerios? You know, what about when things aren't falling in place like you'd like them to? What about when you go home after a long day and your feet are hurting? As I heard a lot over the weekend. What about when there are things on the outside that are irritating, and your mouth wants to produce some words that are, you want everybody else to know how bad you had. You know how this works. And yet on the inside, there's a righteousness, there's a goodness, there's a desire in there somewhere to produce words that are going to be beneficial to the people around us. And we should be doing that. James chapter 3. Last two verses, verse 17 and 18. Out of the Amplified Version, it says this. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good works. God's wisdom is full of compassion and good works. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. In verse 18, and the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and others. That peace, which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals with undisturbedness, in a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. Not only should we be at peace, but we should be peace producers. Wisdom, the wisdom from God, is full of compassion and good fruits, and one of those fruits that we should be producing is peace. Listen, you know, we all know people that you get around them and it seems like conflict just happens. They're a conflict going somewhere to happen. Don't be one of those. That's not coming from God. Even if it comes to things that we should disagree with on the outside. You know, the social issues of the day. Doesn't mean we should go everywhere and be at war. I don't know that we're going to change a lot of people's lives by being at war with things that they deeply believe in. They might be deeply believing in something that's absolutely wrong, but going and being at war with them is probably not going to change them. What's going to change them is being peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Amen? You don't have to agree with people and those issues to be at peace. If you're at peace in yourself, you don't have to throw a lot of disharmony at everybody. Amen? You don't have to slap them upside the head. You don't have to feel like you have to come up with arguments and argue your way out. You know, I don't like debate anyway because the best debater wins, and he may not be right. It's about what's being produced on the inside of that coming out. And I think a lot of times people are more moved by the fact that you didn't come and rain on their parade, but you loved them where they were, where they are, and helped them to come out of it that way. There's a note in the Expository Dictionary of Bible Words. The fruit God is seeking in human beings is expressed in loving acts and being that bring peace and harmony to the individual and to society. But that fruit is foreign to sinful human nature. Energized by sinful passions, fallen humanity acts in ways that harm and bring dissension. God's solution is found in a personal relationship with Jesus and in supernatural working of God's Spirit within the believer. As we live in intimate, obedient relationship with Jesus, God's Spirit energizes us as we produce the peaceable fruits of righteousness that can come only from the Lord. Amen? You can work at a place where there's all kinds of bad stuff happening all around you and yet still be at peace and be a peacemaker. It doesn't always manifest right away. You know, people don't always come right up to you and pat you on the back and say, I'm so glad you're here. You're bringing peace. They might fight you. They might make fun of you. They might come against you, but yet this is our responsibility as Christians. This is what we do. We come and bring peace. You're Wendy talking about bringing peace to the buses that she rides in. I went down that road, and those buses need some peace, and some of the kids are going through awful things, and they manifest in ways that aren't good for them or anybody else, but they need somebody who can be at peace. I used to go and pray over the bus before we got in and drove anywhere. Try to be one step ahead instead of one step behind. You see, I was asked to do a lot of what Wendy's asked to do is to go and pick up the kids who are in trouble in some way or are troubled in some way. And the other drivers would talk about how awful it is and how awful they are and all the things you're going to go through. Well, that shouldn't be the Christians doing that. Amen? They start asking for you to come and do that because they find out that you can handle it because there's good things on the inside of you that are being produced on the outside. And you don't have to wave your hand and say, I'm good, I'm the one. God is working through us to make those things work. Praise God. All right, John 15, verse 4 through 8. Jesus is speaking. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, or you could say the trunk, you're the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can't do anything, can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them, throw them in the fire, and they are burned. That's what's going to happen to people that never gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Notice it talks about fruit and then more fruit and then much fruit. It's supposed to be a progressive thing. I love verse 7 in the Weiss translation. If you maintain a living communion with me, Jesus said, and my words are at home in you, I command you to ask at once something for yourself, whatever your heart desires, and it'll become yours. Why? Because you're maintaining a living communion with him. It's about spending time with him. You become like those that you spend time with. Fellowshipping with him in the word, fellowshipping with him in prayer, just fellowshipping with him. Getting down to a heart level and finding out what he's saying. letting him flow in you and through you. It's the life of God flowing freely through us that produces the fruit. Without him, we can't do it. We could take all the classes and do all the lessons and work really hard at it and really focus on it, but without him, it's just not going to be produced. He said, you cannot do it without me. So why try? Why put all that effort in and try? And, you know, trying is trying to be righteous. It's all those things that we're trying to do it on our own. But it's by spending time with him. True fruit bearing is not works oriented. It isn't accomplished by toil or struggle. It's a matter of abiding. When we start to think that's going to be too hard, we're probably already thinking wrong. Let me read one more scripture to you. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28 through 30. If you're sitting here this morning and thinking, boy, it's been tough. It's been hard. I think I'm trying, and I think I move a little forward, and then I fall back. And just seems almost too difficult to go on. I have a good word for you. Is that QWERTY from the vegetables thing? VeggieTales? I have a word for you. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, and this is the Amplified Bible. Jesus is speaking. Can you picture this as Jesus is standing in front of you saying this? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I'll cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you'll find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Wow. You'll find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Come unto me. Let's think about that as we're worshiping again this morning. Praise God.